2 Timothy chapter 4. That song obviously works very well into this section of Scripture. We're moving through 2 Timothy. We're actually down all the way into chapter 4. And some interesting exhortation here. Encouragement for us spiritually. Pray that the Lord will use you in the harvest. Don wrote that song, by the way. It's an awesome song. It really is good. We don't often do this too often anyway. Pray that God will use us in bringing others right to Himself. All right, now just call it out who or what kind of... Who led you to Christ? If you're going to say, my mother, just raise your hand and say, my mother. All right. Who led you to Christ? Give me some. High school typing teacher. No high school typing teacher leads people to Christ. That's good. That is real good to hear, Janice. That really is. I could tell you about a teacher that would use the Lord to lead my sister-in-law in the school, in the public school, in the school library, led my sister-in-law to Christ. She was so burdened for her. Isn't that neat? Okay, a couple more. That's true, Bernice. I do remember the Sunday Bernice came to faith in the Lord. And after the service, we did go to the prayer room. And she prayed and accepted Christ as her Savior and knew she needed the Lord. I remember that day. Thank you, Bernice. Others? Gary, all the way in the back. We didn't say give your testimony, Gary. Now, who led you to the Lord, Gary?
One of my high school friends. We were a little bit of
hooligan. But a friend led you to Christ, Gary. Excellent. I haven't heard that word hooligan for a long time. Look, this is getting... Is there one more? Miss Bone, who went to be with the Lord. Thank you, Maria. Yeah, she led a lot of children to Christ in this fellowship. Did I see one more hand back there? Felix.
I was born.
You what?
I was born on a Sunday.
You were born on a Sunday.
Well,
when were you born again? Who led you?
My mother.
Ah, good, Felix. Was it here or across the ocean?
Nigeria.
Great. Well, this is good. I appreciate that song, Don. May the Lord use us in the harvest. The title of the message is Keep the Faith, and it's based on a line in this section of Scripture. Keep the faith. And we're going to get quite involved in what's involved in keeping the faith. Guard the Word of God as part of keeping the faith. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword because it has and contains the gospel of Jesus Christ by which people can be saved from sin and set free from the power and penalty of sin. Set free. So yesterday we were thanking the Lord for the freedoms that we have in our country. It was Independence Day, and we still have many, many freedoms. We realize we're losing freedoms here. However, we have some tremendous freedoms. And the flag that we salute stands for our independence or for our freedoms. And we need to remind ourselves once in a while. And we don't have any checkpoints when you drive from state to state. You don't have to go before officials and say, I want to drive. We have a lot of freedoms. We can drive across the country. There are many others I'm not even going to touch on. The flag stands for our independence and for our support of the Constitution of the United States. Many of the things in the Constitution come out of the very Word of God. We support our country because she has a wonderful God-given heritage. And we have very much to be thankful for. Of course, you and I know that the greatest freedom there is in life is the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ. And when you accepted Christ as your Savior, it's amazing the freedom that the Lord gives to you and has given to me and has given to all who accept Christ. Jesus said in John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And true freedom is really found on the inside of a person who has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have freedom from the power and the penalty of sin. There are a lot of people today who can't say no to sin. They get in situations and they just can't say no. But you and I as believers, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And when temptation comes our way, and we are all tempted, when temptation comes our way, we have the spiritual freedom with Jesus Christ, and we're able to say no to sin and yes to the Lord because of His work in our hearts and lives. John 8:36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now again, the title of the message this morning, you will notice that little phrase down in 4:7, and this was read for us this morning. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Sometimes you'll hear that little phrase, keep the faith. We understand what they're saying. They're saying to us, if it's said to us, stay with it spiritual. Keep your relationship with the Lord. There are some things, there are some passages of Scripture. When you look at these passages, they're involved in this overall idea of keeping the faith. Paul said, I have kept the faith, and we need to keep the faith. Well, what's involved in keeping the faith? I think, first of all, it's guarding the Word of God. 1 Timothy 6:20, Timothy is exhorted by the Apostle Paul, and he says to him, 6:20 of the first letter, O Timothy, guard which was committed to your trust. Okay? There's another passage that says, guard the Word of God. God has given to you and to me this is very precious word. And we, in turn, are to guard it. By that we mean we are to proclaim it. We are to believe it. We are to respond to it. We are to share it with others. Guard the Word of God that's been given to you. And tactfully, when you hear someone say something that's totally contrary to the Word of God, that's time, and we'll close on this note this morning. That's time for you to speak the truth in love and share what God has said. Secondly, keeping the faith involves supporting brothers and sisters in Christ. It's Ephesians 4:3, which says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The body of Christ, we who are here this morning, we have a tremendous privilege of encouraging one another and living together in the presence of our God and our Savior. So keeping the faith involves being diligent to preserve unity in the body of Christ with one another, Ephesians 4:3. It also involves protecting ourselves or guarding ourselves from sin. There's a verse that a lot of people, run over too quickly. It's back in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. This is an interesting little verse here. It says, do not lay hands on anyone suddenly. That means to ordain them into ministry, to put them in positions of leadership. But look at that next phrase. Look at that next phrase in verse 22. Nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Keeping the faith involves our doing our best to say no to temptation and to keep ourselves from other people's sins. Be careful. Be real alert. In fact, there's another verse in this chapter that tells us to be spiritually alert because, yes, we can be around those who have no qualms about some things that they might want to do that are very displeasing to God. And so that's why the apostle tells Timothy, do not share in the sins of others. If other people are involved in sin, doesn't mean we go about and have a sanctimonious attitude. It's just there's sometimes when we're invited to do something that we may say, I can't really do that. And tactfully say why. Fourthly, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ as Don's song encouraged us to do. Chapter 4, verse 5 says, do the work of an evangelist. And I know what you might be saying, I'm not a Billy Graham. Well, it doesn't mean you're called to step up on a platform and share the gospel. But the Lord really wants us to do the work of evangelism, and as that song said, to share Jesus Christ. So this final section of 2 Timothy is really, this is a portion of Scripture that may not be as familiar to some people as other portions of God's Word. It's the last inspired words of the Apostle Paul. He is nearing the end of his earthly life here. And I love 4:6 where he says, I am ready, already being poured out as a drink offering. He says, my life is a sacrifice to God. And I want God to use my life. Don's song said, pray that the Lord will use us in the harvest. And we do want to pray that way. That God will use you with your neighbors, with people you work with people you go to school with. God wants to use you in the harvest. So Paul says, now, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. And notice he says, and the time of my departure is at hand. He realizes he doesn't have much longer to be on earth than he's going to be with his Lord. And so in the light of this, he gives Timothy, young Timothy, who is pastoring a church in Ephesus, he gives him a charge. Did you see that in 4:1? Where he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's very concerned that Timothy keeps perspective on what God wants him to do. And there are things in your life and your experience that God wants you to do. And that's why we always ought to be praying when we start any given day, Lord, what would you have me to do today? What is it that you want me to do? The Apostle Paul, when he was converted in the book of Acts on the road to Damascus, that's the first thing he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that's a good way to start your day in prayer. Lord, there's morning, there's afternoon, and there's evening. What is it that you want me to do today? Well, for all of us as believers, we are actually come under the banner of this charge which was given to Timothy. You'll notice he says, I solemnly charge you. And he uses the word solemnly because he knows he's not going to have much more opportunity to encourage Timothy. And then secondly, he knows that Timothy will have to one day stand before the Lord and give an account for his life. Now, please keep this in mind and handle it carefully. We, as believers, we will be standing before the Lord as well. Not at the same time unsaved people will stand before God at the great white throne judgment, but we will stand before the Lord at the bema seat, the bema judgment of God. Paul mentions this in verse 1 as well. And there we'll give an account to the Lord of how we used our lives for His glory. Were we concerned about others? I'll hit this later again. But you know, one of the ways you can know God's working in your life and be encouraged is when you're concerned for another family member, you're concerned for other people, a neighbor, somebody you work with, and you're burdened that they don't have a relationship with Christ. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit's working in your heart. And you're not just living for yourself. You're saying, Lord, use me in the harvest. Lord, help me to encourage someone else. And we'll get into this when we get to the last part of this section for this morning. But you'll notice the exhortation is, preach the word, okay? Proclaim the word of God. And this is not only for those who are in what you might want to call career ministry, okay? Now, I believe the Lord calls out of a flock like this young men and young women to go into career ministry. I could tell you some of the stories of young people that I knew when I went through Bible college, not many years ago, through Bible college and through seminary, and how the Lord put His hand upon them and said, I want you to go here, there, or somewhere. And many of them are burdened for a country like Nigeria, where Felix is from, or other countries in the world. I can remember some of the women at Philadelphia College of Bible. They said, you know, the Lord's burdened me for Ireland, or the Lord's burdened me for South America, so that they could proclaim the Word of God. So yes, there are those who are called to full-time career ministry. And our young people need to be praying, does God want me in career ministry? But also, all of us as believers are called to proclaim the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without someone to proclaim the Word of God? And there are people in your sphere of influence, draw a nice big circle, maybe in your family circle, or maybe in your neighborhood, and they're not going to hear the Word of God unless they hear from you. Now, I know people who say, well, you know, somebody's going to get saved. God's going to save them. We know what the Lord does. And that is true. That is true. God will always get His work done. But there are some people that God wants to use you for to touch someone else's life. And that's why this little challenge here, preach the word, is not just for career missionaries or people in full-time ministry, as we call it to be. There was a young pastor returning home late one evening in another city, and he had his Bible. Let me take a drink of this. This is water, by the way. He had his Bible with him, and he got on a bus. By the way, I was visiting somebody in the church family one time, and I couldn't find my New Testament. So I had my Bible with me, and I got on the elevator at the hospital. I had my Bible kind of like this, and somebody got on, and they kind of moved. It was funny. But this young pastor, it's late at night, and he's going home after a meeting, and he gets on this crowded bus in the city, and a bunch of young guys were on the bus, and they saw him there with the Bible, and they began to poke a little fun at, you know, look what he's got, you know. And so then one of the young guys stepped up to him and said, say, mister, how far is it to heaven? And he said, well, I'll tell you what, it's about one step. Would you let me share that with you? And turn that into a beautiful opportunity to share Jesus Christ. The importance of the Word of God. The Word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's for all people. This is God's Word for mankind, as we saw last week. It's God's supernatural manual that alone reveals the ways and the mind of God. And as we said last week, and we were focused on this, that is the God-breathed Word of God. It is the ultimate authority for faith and life. The Bible that you hold in your hands this morning is complete when it talks about, and you can do this on your own. You could take the Bible and say, okay, I want to study this subject. You would be amazed. Get a topical Bible study book, by the way. Topical. I own two of those. It's great. Like, if you want to talk about heaven, okay, you start looking up the verses in the Bible on heaven. You say, man, it's awesome what the Lord has said about heaven. Or relationships, or marriage, or the family, or your work. The Bible speaks to all these things in its completeness. Psalm 119, verse 120, the psalmist said, the entirety of your word is truth. God speaks to us today through His word. Now, I want to add one more thing. Many of you have known Christ as your Savior for many years, and you understand that the Bible is the God-breathed Word of God, and that God supernaturally guided the human writers so that they composed and recorded for us the very things God wanted us to have. But as believers, to spiritually profit from the Word of God, please don't miss this. This really needs to be plugged in at this point. To really have illumination from Scripture, we must be in fellowship with the Lord. We must be abiding in Christ. In other words, you can take the Bible and you can just really learn all kinds of things about prophecy and future events, but it might not impact your heart and life unless, and it won't, unless you are in fellowship with the Lord. To spiritually profit from God's Word, we must be abiding in Christ. And there are a lot of verses for this. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you would desire and it shall be done for you. Jesus gives a tremendous promise there. If you'll be in the Word of God and if you will be in fellowship with me, you can bring your prayer request. Obviously, God's not going to answer requests that we make that are not in His will. But it is amazing what the Lord will do for us. There may be tons of situations out here where other people or other things are not in what we would call the will of God. But for you in the will of God, boy, you get in the Scriptures and the Word of God's going to bring you comfort. It's going to bring you encouragement. It's going to give you perspective. It's going to remind you that you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's amazing what the Word of God does for us. Now, last week I gave you the four I words. The reason we understand the Bible has authority in our lives, I'm just going to mention them. I'm not going to define them. We put them in the bulletin last week. The Bible is inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant, and the last one is it's inclusive. It touches on every major concern of life. And then also, I remember the men in New York, we had a men's Bible study like Doak's group has, and I remember twice in I don't know how a period of 10 years, men would come up and say, would you go over the reasons why we know the Bible is the Word of God? We got to go over that again. And it's good to get that tucked in your mind and thinking, because people will ask you how you know the Bible is the Word of God. I'm just going to mention them. Under each of these categories, it can be explained and you can tell how you know the Bible is the Word of God. One is its scientific accuracy. The Bible is very accurate scientifically. I am going to mention this one. Job 26:7. Job recorded, "He, God, hangs the earth on nothing." Okay? Well, how did Job know that the earth hung out there in space before there were telescopes and things like this? Because the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, guided Job as he wrote Job chapter 26. Historical accuracy, wonderful unity. 66 books, 40 different authors, written over a period of 1,600 years. And it has one beautiful theme, the person and work of Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came here for you and for me. Fulfilled prophecy. Oh, man, amazing. There are over 300 prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. His birth, His life, His death. Over 300 accurately fulfilled, given in the Word of God. The eternal qualities of the Word of God and its life-changing power. Now, the Apostle Paul gives this charge to Timothy before two witnesses. And you'll notice it says, "I charge you before God," God the Father, "and the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay? And I love seeing here again that he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing. And by the way, we are among those who are looking for the return of Christ. He could come tonight. He's coming back again. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, we're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. I remember when I was in junior high school, I had a teacher said, by the way, are you one of those Christians that are looking for the return of Christ? And I said, yes, I really am. He said, I've heard of that kind of Christians. You know, what kind are we? We're Bible-believing Christians. We are. We're really looking for the return of Jesus. He could come back. He could come back tonight. His glorious appearing. And there's a lot involved in that appearing of Christ. We look forward to it. But I want to get back to that charge again. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Primarily, the emphasis of that beautiful exhortation is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give out the gospel of Christ. When it says preach the word, also, the Apostle Paul was the one who said, I have given, in Acts chapter 20, he says, I have given unto you the whole counsel of God. And that's why, you know, when we come to a service here at LBC, we want to be in different portions of Scripture. We've had series in different topics. We've had series in Genesis. We've had some series in Proverbs. We've had some in Psalms. We need to move around in the Bible because there's so much. It has so much truth for us to take in. Paul says, preach the word. Primarily, he's referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he's referring to the Word of God, the 66 books that we have in our hands. And the word preach doesn't mean simply that which is done in a pulpit like this. It means to proclaim the Word of God, to share God's Word. The original word pictures a herald who would go and make a public announcement. Remember, you've heard of heralds in ancient history, and how, like even in Rome, the emperor of Rome had an imperial herald, someone who would go out. See, they didn't have TV and radio back then, that day, unless someone had one hidden. They didn't have them. And so they would send a man out on a horse, and he would make a proclamation. He'd say, "Hear ye, hear ye. The state parks are closed till the water goes down." Well, the King of Heaven, the Lord, our Lord, has actually told us to be heralds. And it doesn't mean we have to go out on a street corner and yell and scream and throw our Bible around. That's not going to win somebody to Christ, okay? But God does want us to be involved in giving forth the very Word of God. Now, I just don't want to miss this, and I want to get down to it. We all can share the Word of God, okay? We can proclaim it. And then there's three more commands under that in verse 2. Did you notice he says, be ready when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Now, here's something you really need to hear. God wants to use you to help someone else. You see, you notice the first of those verbs is reprove. If you know someone who's straying away from the truth of God, and this is not easy, you may be the person that God wants to say, my friend, my dear friend, you're heading in the wrong direction. It doesn't mean you're in any way condemning that person. You're just saying, I want to encourage you based on the Word of God. You're heading in the wrong direction. And sometimes a Christian will say, well, I've shared this with people and they don't want to hear it. You know, well, that can be true. But the Lord wants us to reprove, which means to try to stop someone from who is going in the wrong direction. They're straying from truth. Rebuke, and that's a stronger word, by the way, but always the Bible says that we're to be speaking the truth in love. As we heard in Sunday school class this morning, before we start encouraging anybody to do something right, we better have prayer backing up what we say. Is that not correct? And so these are the things that we can do. God can use us to, as we share the Word of God with others. And this is a beautiful challenge for us. Again, you're going to remember that one little phrase. I charge you, preach the Word. Remember I said the word preach doesn't mean just public preaching in the pulpit. It means to proclaim the Word of God. Share the Word of God. Sometimes there's just one thing that you could share with someone on a Monday morning, someone who's going through a trial and need, just a part of a verse of Scripture, and you could use it, and that person could literally be touched by the Holy Spirit and turn around and start heading in the right direction. The Word of God is living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Let us remember, as believers, to give out the Word of God. Proclaim the Word of God. I thought it was interesting in closing to once again see that passage in 1 Samuel where it said God raised up Samuel, and it says in the King James text, a New King James, 1 Samuel 3:19, none of his words fell to the ground. It's a graphic little statement. It means that when Samuel spoke, the Holy Spirit used his words. Whether people said, oh yeah, I really want to hear that, or they didn't, it just simply says his words weren't given in vain. They didn't fall to the ground. And of course that reminds us of that Old Testament verse that says that the Word of God is like rain coming down from heaven, and it is never, ever given in vain. And God will use, as Don said in the song, the seed planted in the harvest. And it's amazing what God will do. So the exhortation to this young Timothy is an exhortation for us too. Be ready to share the Word of God. And some days you may only share one little portion of Scripture with someone. And God, the Holy Spirit, may use it to turn them around and say, this person's concerned for me. Lastly, there's a man who graduated from Dallas Seminary, went up on the East Coast. It's not the easiest place in the world to preach. And he finished a meeting one night, and this man came up to him and he said, I didn't believe a word that you said. And he just stood there. But then he said, I believe that you believed it. I believe that you believed it. And see how the Holy Spirit can take your sincerity and the truth. Maybe you only share one part of a verse of Scripture with someone. God can use it as you proclaim His Word in the life rather, of someone else. Let's pray before we come to the table.